Blog Talk Radio.
So let me ask you something.
Seven.
When you watching the game,
sight.
What do you see?
Media.
Yo, it started with the dream, a ball in the hoop. In between the lines, divide the lies from the truth. Analytics say you gotta play to the stats, but a Mac never play Mac, so why listen to that? The fact is, numbers are just an illusion, cause they don't tell the whole story, just a conclusion. This is the show that puts all the numbers to rest, cause it's not all about the stats, it's about the eye test.
Yes, yes, yes. Welcome back, one and all. This is MVB.
And this is ISO. Glad to be back.
We're now in tune to the Eye Test NBA podcast,
where there's always a story behind the numbers. Man, oh
yes,
man.
Yes, sir.
Yo, good to have you back in the co-pilot seat, brother. How's everything, man?
Oh, man, son. It feels wonderful to be back. You know what I'm saying? Where it all started. This is where it all started. You know what I'm saying? I had everybody, ESPN, everybody else, eye test, numbers, and all that. This is where they get it from, Doc. This is where they get it from right here. My man, MVP and ISO. Believe that. For real, for real.
Yeah, man. Good to be back on the airwaves, man.
For real, man. For real, I miss it.
Anything
man. Go ahead, brother.
Yeah, it's a lot, like you said, a lot that's been going on, a lot of happenings. As we've noticed, and we've talked about this early in the year, the NBA, I mean, it's already said and done. The NBA has taken over the calendar year. Football used to be the go-to sport that you could rock with throughout the year. But it seems like in the last 3 or 4 seasons or so, the NBA has just kind of completely taken this over. And we have going through, you know, the championship run, straight into free agency, straight into the summer league, and looking into the preseason. So there's been a lot going on, man. What's been sticking out to you most recently with all of the drama that's been happening?
I mean, of course, man. You know, the man who swings the pantheon of drama, the one who's the Richter scale of excitement and of attention in this social media age, one and only L.A. Braun. You know what I'm saying? Like,
yes, sir.
You know, yes, sir. I know you dusted off the Van Exel jersey.
It's never any dust on it, actually. I just had to pull it out the closet. You know what I mean? No doubt. I got to keep that one crispy right there, Richard. But it's a perfect time to be rocking that jersey, especially, too, seeing what the prototype of the new Laker jersey is. Did you see that? They were going to bring it back to the Showtime era?
Yeah. Well, that's you know, it's crazy. It's crazy because I guess that's what this is about. Because really and truly, we all know that LeBron has been chasing the ghost, but his game most resembles 32, Magic Johnson.
No doubt.
It's only fitting that LeBron comes back to that franchise to bring Showtime. To bring Showtime back, you know what I'm saying? Jack is going to be back sitting courtside, my G.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen Jack out there. I mean, Jack is a loyal supporter, you know, but he had to put up with those Russell days, you know, and those dreary days. So it's good to see some talent and some prospects on the court.
Yeah, man. I mean, it's going to be exciting. It's going to be adventurous. I mean, this is a situation that really and truly I wouldn't have picked for my career ending, but it's definitely a legacy turner either way.
Right.
Failing or succeeding, this will definitely be a legacy turner for him. I can't deny that.
Right. And it's not like, I mean, he's been criticized many times for what he does when the spotlight is on and when it is winning time. But taking this step and this leap of faith and putting all of your trust in Magic Johnson and the new Laker brass, you know, that's run by Genie, thankfully now, and Rob Pelinka, et cetera, all the other execs, really putting your faith in that organization, as you said, on your way out. You know, that's a big step. As opposed to going to Houston, that like a lot of people were saying, you know. So, I mean, we discussed the LeBron moving and him actually traveling. What you think about this other? We talked about the second mural as being disrespected now and defaced. Me personally, as a Laker fan, man, I'm tight about that. I feel like there's too many. It must. I don't know if it's the millennials. I don't know what it is, but it's a lot of Kobe fans, man, and Kobe stans that are not putting the organization first, but only expressing their personal, you know, love and respect for Kobe, which I salute that. But we got to put you onto the large picture, as the brother would say, man. Got to show you the large picture, man. You know what I mean?
Here's my whole analysis of why this has been going down, my G. The Kobe fans, It's not only Kobe fans, but I think also it's definitely Kobe fans that are destroying the mural. But I think just the overall lack of hate. Because first of all, before we even get into my breakdown, this is probably the first time in the history of a league that a person of this much star power is getting backlash from his own fan base for joining the team. Like, so
you brought that up in the chat. That was a good question that you kind of threw out there.
Like,
I tried to research and jog my memory and think back, you know, to see. When LeBron left Cleveland, that was a big deal. But now being received in a new fan, I know received in a new fan base. That's, I don't know. I don't know anybody who's had to go through this kind of situation here with this transition.
All right. Now, the reason why this has occurred is because, see, all the Kobe fans and Laker fans of during the time when LeBron was migrating from Cleveland to Miami back to Cleveland.
Right.
They've heard the conversation of how LeBron has surpassed Kobe Bryant. And, you know, the conversation was that Kobe Bryant is not even in the conversation between, you know what I'm saying, the GOAT conversation. There's like LeBron has surpassed Kobe, and it's just him and Michael when it comes to, I guess, the best perimeter players of all time.
Can I ask you a question?
Did
LeBron say that? Did LeBron say that, though?
In not so direct fashion, he did say it. And the reason why I say he did say it is because he said himself that he's chasing the ghost. He's chasing the greatness of Michael Jordan.
Mm-hmm.
And for me, by you saying that you're chasing Michael Jordan, then that means that you're not chasing Kobe Bryant. You know, and
because
it,
in
I
his
find,
eyes,
I,
Mike is the best. That's what I got it at. It's respect for Mike, not disrespecting Kobe. This is your deep dive, right? This is your deep dive, and you're looking deep into it. My question is, when it comes down to it, if the Lakers win the championship with LeBron at the helm, what are these same cats going to be saying? And this is what I asked Truth earlier. I'm like, yo, keep that same energy, B. You got to keep the same energy.
No. Here's the thing. I think if you can do that, then you put yourself in the conversation of being passed. You know what I'm saying? Just because even though you'd have one less than Kobe, you'd have done it in three different franchises. But at the same time, what made Michael Jordan great is what made Kobe Bryant great. Is the fact that you was able to start from the bottom and go back to the top. You know, we understand that he was a 1A alpha, he was a 1B alpha male with Shaquille O'Neal. You know, that interview that him and Shaq
right.
had, even
right.
even more respect on Kobe's name as far as what he had to deal with, because Shaq was just satisfied with one, as we know now.
Yeah.
You know what
right.
I'm saying? If it wasn't for the media talking and smacking and all this other stuff, then it was like, okay, let me go reprove myself. But Kobe Bryant was already motivated to win multiple titles with Shaq. You know, that's why I had to debate with Truth Be Told, talking about who is the greatest big man guard combo, and I had to put Magic and Captain above that because they never took each other for granted. You know what I'm saying? They never took
mm-hmm.
each other for granted, whereas Shaq took Kobe for granted. So with Kobe, he came down from the bottom, you know, missing the playoffs. He was missing the playoffs, you know, getting knocked out in the first round.
That means that, no doubt. So that means that Laker fans ride with him even more. Is that what you're saying?
This is what I'm saying. No. It's
so why are you not riding with the Lakers, though?
No,
you should be riding with the Lakers, fam.
No, but this is what I'm saying. They look at him as a mercenary. They look at LeBron as a mercenary. They don't look at him as a free agent. They're looking at him as they saw the situation. Because to me, even though he went back to Cleveland, basically to me, this is his fourth team. It's his third franchise. It's his fourth team.
Right.
That's
right.
How I look at it. You know what I'm saying? You was the man in Cleveland before holding the helm. Then you left that to go to Miami. Then you went back to Cleveland playing with Kyrie and this and this, and now you're playing this. So this is basically your fourth team, even though it's your third franchise. And yes, it feels great to be like, yo, you know what I'm saying? You got this great player and everything, but they look at you as a mercenary for you trying to achieve greatness. To me, really and truly, I would have loved it more if LeBron wanted to go to LA, that he would have went to the Clippers. You know what I'm saying?
Sure. See, that's where you're wrong. That's where you're
no,
wrong.
Listen, let me
now,
what,
hold up. Before
hold
you go down
you,
this rabbit hole, look at you. You're going down the rabbit hole, son. He's in the right
on,
place.
You,
he's in the purple and gold where he should be.
Listen. Let me tell you why. Because to me, it's like, yo, when it's all said and done, it's like, yo, you're unrecognized. Nobody, how can somebody be the greatest of all time and not be held to one team? You know what I'm saying? Even if you had two teams, all right. But you're going on your third team, bruh, your third franchise. So it's like, so what, now we're going to have to have the debate, oh, which one was LeBron the best? Was he the best in Miami? Was he the best in Cleveland? Was he the best in Lakers? Well, other people, first of all, take nothing away from LeBron as far as I hold him as I put LeBron as the GOAT as far as sports business. Hands down, this is the greatest sports businessman, not just business on the side. We understand he has his business on the side, but I'm talking about how he handles his sports business. He is the GOAT.
Right.
Hands
100%.
Down.
Okay.
Hands down.
All right. So,
But when you're talking about legacies and you're talking about legacies, it's like this. It's like you got Mike. He got six with one franchise. You know what I'm saying? He got six with one franchise. You got Kobe, who got five with one franchise. You have this.
Can I remind you something?
Who,
you sound
what's
like
up?
The old man stuck in the past. That's not the NBA now. Listen, my dude. That's not the NBA now. Cats are moving around. Melo spoke about it. The buyouts, all of this stuff. And these dudes have much more power at this point. This sounds like deja vu, fam. We've talked about this a million times. The fact that they move around, it's not the same type of NBA.
Here's the thing about it, Colt, MVB, is that, see, when Mike, why Mike played for the Wizards? Mike played for the Wizards because he wanted the feeling of being knocked off.
Mike played for the Wizards so he could be in an ownership position, son.
Yeah,
he was trying to get into
that,
the ownership position.
But he still had the itch because he didn't get knocked off. He didn't get knocked off the pedestal. You know what I'm saying? Even though you could probably say he did get it, to me, I thought he got knocked off when he lost to the Magic. But you know what I'm saying? But to me, that's what it's about. It's like this dude. My trip.
So how are you hitting LeBron for going to LA where they don't even have a ready-made team? This is going to be a struggle.
No. It's not gonna be. I credit him. I think that he couldn't go to a ready-made team because as the best player in the game, he would have got re-crucified if he went to Houston. Believe it or not, people are saying, oh, they would have criticized him. If he went, of course they're going to criticize you either way. But to me, my thing about it is the reason why he's getting crucified going to the Lakers is because you're going to the franchise that you're trying to make a name for yourself in a franchise where people already said that you were better than Kobe Bryant, where the fans, the Laker fans, don't believe that. Like Kobe Bryant wasn't a lot of things that you're not. You know what I'm saying? We understand that. We understand the team game and all the aspects of that. But the thing about it is that Kobe Bryant never played with as much talent as you played with. He played with Shaq. That's it. He didn't.
Pau
Gasol. You know what I'm saying?
Pau Gasol is
not Dwayne Wade. Pau Gasol is probably the equivalent of playing with Bosh.
That's my point. Bosh, yes. I wasn't
right.
going to say Wade.
Yeah,
Pau Gasol is Bosh.
He still had Dwayne Wade. He still had Kyrie Irving. He still had Kevin Love. This dude has played with an immense amount of talent. You know what I'm saying? And who knows who he's going to have further down the line. So, yeah, it can appear that right now that
can you
he's
also
not playing
agree?
With no talent.
Can you also
he's
agree he's
no
done the most with the least? Can you also agree upon that?
Yeah, but we're gonna see now. This year is gonna test his greatness.
We're gonna see.
Because
real quick, call is out there. 563-999-3716. If you're trying to get into this conversation, man, help to speak some sense into ISO's argument over here. Press 1, man. Press 1 to get on the line and get in the queue so that we can have a conversation with you. Go ahead, God.
Yo, I'm just saying, my thing about it is this. I can respect the fact that you're trying to come back up, first of all, to me, my thing is you going to the West was also about if you lose this year to Golden State Warriors, you don't get another finals loss. And I truly believe that. I think because to me, if it's all about making the championships, if it's all about championships, right? If it's all about championships, you're LeBron, you're all about championships, then wouldn't it make sense for you to stay in the East? It would make sense for you to stay in the East where you know you would meet Golden State for a championship.
Not necessarily. Not necessarily. If you know that there's a chance, yeah, if you know there's a chance that Kawhi wants to play in L.A., right? If there's a chance that KD could possibly leave after next year and that whole team could get dismantled, you could possibly get either Klay or KD. No, it makes sense then to go to where you would like to play that has a stable organization. You could get along with the general manager and also the VP of basketball operations and make some moves and really plant your seeds. He's already done that and planted his roots in Cleveland. Now this is an opportunity to do it on a much larger stage on the second biggest market in the league, right? This is the chance to actually put your foot down. So I think that this is the smart move, man. I wouldn't have stayed in the East. And you were just talking about Mike wanting a challenge. This would be the equivalent of LeBron going out there and trying to get a challenge as well, or trying to put himself out there. We spent all of this time on LeBron, son. Look at this. And y'all dudes hate the God. Y'all put so much stain on the name.
I don't hate him. But the fact is that the controlling narrative, you know what I'm saying? Like, I can understand why he's received some of the backlash that he's had, because of the simple fact of that he's put himself – a lot of it has to do with media, too, that these guys want to put him past Kobe Bryant. You know what I'm saying? Dudes want to be like, oh, this dude's better than Kobe Bryant. And it's just
that's my point. It's the media that said that. It wasn't LeBron that came out and said that. So why should he be receiving
No, but what happens is that he has put core crack into the Laker fans, because there's Laker fans, there's LeBron fans, and there's Kobe fans.
Hold up. This is exactly what I wanted to bring up in the beginning, because myself as a Laker fan, I feel like this is disrespecting the franchise and the organization, and I have the perfect person to weigh in on this conversation. Last four digits, 8576. 8576. You're on the line now.
Yes.
Let's talk about it, man.
Yes.
Truth be told, what's good, my brother?
Yo, everything's good. We talking Lakers again. You know, it's a beautiful thing, man. You know, Lakers.
That's what I'm talking about.
I'm happy for you. I'm definitely happy. Y'all got some attention back the way it should be. That's good.
Yeah.
But
Magic is definitely doing his thing. You know, Magic Johnson doing his thing. You know, bringing
so
back.
I brought
no
up
promise.
The fact. I want to ask you this, truth be told. I want to ask you this, man. I brought up this fact earlier on. I feel that the disrespect of the murals that of LeBron in L.A. has gotten to the point where it is putting a stain in my, you know, feeling as a Laker fan, because I want to see the Lakers succeed, right? No matter who's wearing the jersey, it's the purple and gold that, for me, that reigns supreme, right? I love the fact that Kobe played there and we had all of these players. Now, are these same fans going to feel the same way when LeBron brings a championship to L.A.? Are they going to still hate? Or is it – what's the issue? Why is there such a divide? Right before you got on, Iso was just mentioning that there are Laker fans, Kobe fans, and LeBron fans, and that's kind of why we're in the situation that we're in. I want you to weigh in on that, though.
Yeah, so the whole that's just funny to me, yo, because I've been a Laker fan my whole adult, you know, my whole life, childhood with Magic Johnson, and to see Magic at the helm, I felt good when Magic got the position, because I just knew he was gonna bring us back. He was saying that Jim Buss had to go even when he was in the booth, right?
Right.
So Magic knew the work needed to be done to come back. So here's where I'm at with it. If you a Kobe fan, you ain't no Laker fan. So
thank you.
So you know,
thank you.
You a Kobe fan. You a Kobe fan. I rock with Kobe. Kobe is my dude, just like Magic is my dude, just like Nick Van Exel and Big Game James Worthy is my dude, you know?
Right.
But they
right.
all Lakers, and they Lakers first. So, but here's the thing, and this is why, you know, you got to love ISO, because ISO is that dude that ISO playing up this whole LeBron thing versus Kobe because he's stirring the pot, you know.
He's loving it. He's loving it.
He know that LeBron is weak-minded, and he know that this puts pressure on LeBron, so he's stirring that pot. He love it. But you ain't no Laker fan if you don't want to see the Lakers survive and, I mean, thrive with LeBron. You know what I mean?
Right.
Put all of that aside, I could still say my preference is Kobe over LeBron. That's just because I've been a Laker fan my whole life, and I love the way Kobe never disrespected the game. You know, not that LeBron disrespected the game. LeBron has his flaws. Ain't none of that changed for me. But he wearing purple now. I want him to win. I want to
That's
see
right.
him thrive because I see my Lakers get back where they need to be. You know what
listen,
I'm saying? So
listen, I'm not. All right, I do stir the pot a little bit because I understand. I ain't gonna lie. I stir the pot. You know, I put the carrots and everything in there because you know, I've seen how much praise that this guy has gotten, and I've seen how many times. You know what I'm saying? When the going gets rough, I'm out. Like the way he's conducting himself as far as the way he left Miami. Like I don't care about the way he left Cleveland the first time because to me, in all honesty, if you're not going to supply me with the type of players that I need to succeed, then he has all right to leave. So I was never mad about the way that he left Cleveland to go to Miami. But I was mad about the way he left Miami and the way that you leave Cleveland, like, yo, I'm not letting y'all know my movements and stuff like that. Like, I don't feel that. But that's another story. But my thing about it is when you have what happens is that when you have a whole bunch of LeBron fans, right, that's been saying for the longest time that he's better than Kobe Bryant, right? This dude is better. This dude is forget Mike right now. Forget Mike. These dudes is like saying, "Oh, come on, he's been past Kobe. This and that." Whereas ballers of our age have witnessed the greatness of this guy. Who first? This dude didn't even start. This dude came off the bench, won his starting position. From winning his starting position, by the time he started, the first time he started, that's when Shaq won a ring. So, you know, all that carrying, Shaq carrying him stuff, cut that out. And then for Shaq to leave and then him start at the bottom and dude thinking that he's not going to get back to the top and then go to the finals three straight times and win two out of the three, it's like, yo, I can respect greatness. So
ISO, my brother. When is the last time Kobe Bryant played? When the last time he stood up?
That's not what I'm saying. What I'm saying is the reason why there's so much disdain is because you have a dude who is arguably the greatest Laker with Magic, right? And now you have all these other fans. This is from the outside looking in. You know what I'm saying? Now you have all these fans who said that he's better than Kobe. Now he's in the Lakers. It just brings dissension to them. You know what I'm saying?
It just brings dissension. Can I ask you one thing you just said? You said he's probably the greatest Laker, and then you said Magic. You mentioned Magic, right? So statistically...
Right.
Statistically, Kobe Bryant is the greatest Laker ever, period. I mean, he owns the Laker record book, okay?
Right.
But, truth be told, Magic Johnson is that dude. All right? Magic is that dude.
Right?
So I can't, even though statistically Kobe is hands down the greatest Laker, I cannot in good conscience pick him over Magic as the greatest Laker of all time. I can't. Magic went to 9 finals. Kobe played in 7. And, yeah, Magic had a loaded Laker team, but the NBA was a different NBA. It was 6 less teams. The competition was greater. And in his finals, he battled giants in his finals. Dr. J, Moses Malone. He took on the Celtics teams. He took on that Pistons team, right? And he had to go through the Twin Towers to get to them finals and Stockton and Malone, right? So the competition was a whole nother level. And then just being who Magic is, so the same way you got to say statistically, when you look at LeBron, because he's still playing, Kobe is not, statistically he's getting to a level where Kobe can't match him statistically.
Let me weigh in, fellas. That is why, ISO, I'm going to bring it all together. You know how the point guard does. That's why Kobe fans are shook. Because if LeBron comes to L.A. and is super successful, he can take over that reign and be able to outshine Kobe in the NBA. And also, I don't know, I don't think as a Laker, he don't got that much time, honestly. But he would be able to outshine or put a little bit less shine and dull out Kobe's light. And that's really the issue. They shook. And those are the Kobe fans.
I feel you. But my thing about it is where the destruction of the mural comes in is that you have the LeBron fans who feel already because, quote unquote, LeBron is the greatest in the world, that he's the greatest Laker right now.
That was fixed with the second mural.
I mean,
Think about it.
That's why homie had to switch it up with the mural, because the first mural said King of LA.
I'm not disagreeing. It was fixed with the second one. The second one had Kobe on the Staples Center. That had him lit, right? And everybody else and LeBron looking up to all of the greats and Magic on the forum and the captain in the forum and all of that. So, yeah, that happened, you know, during the second one, but it was still violated. That one was still violated, and that actually represented, had a better representation of him coming to L.A. and him actually putting a uniform on.
Maybe Kobe fans, maybe Kobe fans want to see LeBron give him some love the way Kobe gave him some love, because the Kobe been heard saying that anything LeBron needs, such and such and such. And, you know, LeBron is just being LeBron right now. You know what I'm saying? He just started talking about what it is to be a Laker. And he's talked about Magic Johnson, but, you know, he hasn't talked like, yo, you know, I reached out to the Mamba or something like that. Like, you know, maybe they're like, yo, son, show some respect.
You think Kobe Bryant need that shit from LeBron? Kobe don't need that, because you know what Kobe doing? He already done work with Kyrie Irving, Mamba mentality, done won LeBron a ring with that Mamba mentality, and now he working on Kobe Jr. The next
That's
coming.
Why, right. That was my next transition. Thank you very much.
That's Kobe.
So,
that's Kobe.
Yeah, we had that combo about, And let's be specific. Yeah, you brought up Kobe Jr., which is, and I shared the video with y'all today of Jason Tatum and him working out with Kobe. Now, that's raised a lot of eyes, you know, from a lot of different places and for different reasons. Now, when we say it, if you look at the video, he's a spitting image of Kobe Bryant's moves and his whole, his movement, everything, just how Kobe was the spitting image of Mike. Eerie that we could be able to see those different generations. Now, do you feel like Kobe could be planting that seed for Tatum to possibly come? I know he has to stick through his rookie contract and more than likely going to sign an extension. But Do you think that that's planting the seed for the future, or do you think that's Kobe being a, I won't say, not a traitor, but, you know, those are harsh terms, or is he just trying, he's just willing to spread the Mamba mentality throughout the league?
Okay, no. So here's Kobe's revenge. And this is Kobe's revenge not only to the Lakers, because I'm going to tell you, he feels a way that Shaq got that statue before him.
Yep.
You see him at Sparks game. You don't see him at no Laker games, even though he said he's going to come to some games. But he already said he ain't sitting courtside when he come to some games. But he already said he's going to be in a booth somewhere. But he has not been back to L.A. other than his retirement. But this is Kobe's revenge. Kobe's revenge is all this talk about LeBron has been the king, and LeBron got four MVPs, and Kobe got one regular season MVP. So four, his revenge is, you don't hear players saying, oh, LeBron is that dude, or going to LeBron for mentorship. You hearing all these cats from Paul George to Kyrie Irving. You got to remember, Kobe worked with Kawhi Leonard when he had his breakout season 2 years ago. Kobe worked with him in the offseason. Kobe's revenge is my footprint on the league, right? Because you can't go to LeBron and say, hey, show me what you do, because LeBron is a freak physically.
Right.
You feel me?
Definitely.
Kobe is skilled. What Kobe is showing these cats is the mental approach to the game, the dedication that it takes, and the drive that it takes, and he's showing them the footwork, the moves. Just look at what Tatum already came in with that, meaning Kobe, he already idolized Kobe. He already knew all Kobe's moves. Remember, Kobe even broke him down in detail. He broke down Tatum's game. Donovan Mitchell is another one. I bet you he ended up working with Kobe. And he came out and said, man, I didn't even know Kobe Bryant's fan. But when Kobe broke down that joint, he said he watched it 100 times, didn't he? Right? Kobe gonna he's very particular about who he works with. He's got to see that you got that drive and you got the skill set and you got the heart. He's not working with just anybody. So you're gonna look around and all these elite players in the league is gonna be Kobe's students. And that's his gonna be his revenge, because his stamp is gonna be bigger than LeBron's in that aspect. Because he's going to have a whole generation with Mamba mentality. Even the shorty that won the national championship with the two jumpers, the two game winners, she was talking Mamba mentality.
Yes, she was.
You feel me?
Yo.
So that's his revenge. Mm-hmm.
Oh, my goodness. This dude is amazing. Truth, you're amazing right now. Like, hello? Like, this is amazing. This is everything I was saying verbatim. Like, you gave him the statue that left the bad taste in his mouth. They offered, Magic offered Kobe the GM job. It was like, nah, give it to my agent. I don't even want it. Give it to my agent. Yeah, Rob, you take the job. You know what I'm saying? And like you said, he's setting up everybody. And I think also it's a respect thing, because to me, I think he's vexed that LeBron hasn't come to him to elevate his game better the same way he went to Mike. You know what I'm saying?
And went to Akeem.
Yeah, that's the thing. It's just like, because to me, here's the thing, and I've said this before. The key to the Lakers' success, because remember, we're going to see how patient LeBron is going to be off the ball. You know what I'm saying? The key to success with this Lakers team is how much he plays off the ball, and you know what I'm saying, his backdoor movement. Because if you look at yes, he won a championship in
Miami.
Yes, he won
exactly
Cleveland.
That.
No, but that's what I was about to say. He won a championship in Cleveland, but he looked more dominant when he was in Miami because he didn't have the ball in his hands all the time. He was, you know what I'm saying? He's able to get his backdoor cuts and lobs and free hoops. So, you know what I'm saying? That's mainly what he missed with Wade. Wade made sure that he got some easy looks. So we're going to see with, you know, him playing. Yeah, we're gonna see. But
I can't
that's
wait.
The thing. He's coaching these kids up. He's coaching these kids up to go at LeBron because he's like, yo, you know, when I played, these dudes, I played competition, especially at my position. I had competition, and he just feeling like, you know, you need more. You need to get tested more. You know what I'm saying? You're gonna earn this purple and gold. You get this ring, you're gonna earn this ring, bro.
Okay, hold up 1 second. Truth. Do you hear the dissension that he's bringing, that ISO is bringing? Once again, like you mentioned earlier in the podcast, bringing Kobe versus LeBron. All of this dissent. I don't want to hear this hate in around the purple
though.
And gold, baby.
We're working together.
We're all working together in order to get this.
Truth, wasn't it you who texted me that Kobe ain't working with no LeBron? You told me that.
Yo, because I just, for one, I don't see LeBron his where he is in stature. He not gonna bow down to let Kobe work with him. You know what I mean? He not gonna do that. You wouldn't do it if you was LeBron. ISO, truth be told,
right.
You
see,
ain't gonna do
can
that.
Can I mention something?
No, but you said this. No,
you said this on ISO. Hold up, listen. You said that Kobe went to go and ask Mike. There was a bigger gap in age and respect and all the, not respect, but just an age and difference. Like Kobe was on his way in, and Mike was on his way out. LeBron and Kobe are much closer. They're closer to peers,
nah.
Right? So the time that he was able to soak up and see what Kobe did and kind of get into his mind was during the Olympics. And
absolutely.
I don't know if it either motivated him or if it pushed him away to see like, yo, this dude is really a monster. And you know what I mean? Like, I don't know what the decision was, but you see that they were able to link then. But they're so close in peers, I wouldn't necessarily see him going to necessarily work out. Yeah, KD and LeBron work together. It's different, though. Kobe has a different mentality. He comes from a different class.
I think to me, the supreme difference is not the peers. It's just the fact of that being able to be humble enough to accept that knowledge to be the greatest that you can be. Mike's moves and all that. Come on, man. He watched McHale do up and unders and all that other stuff. You know what I'm saying? He dudes want to talk about, oh, he mastered the fadeaway. He was watching cats. He watched cats, took their moves and adapted it to his game. Kobe was able. I mean, come on. Kobe won a championship. He just won a championship after he went to go see Hakeem. It wasn't like, yo, I lost and I'm going to see Hakeem. He won and saw Hakeem. And that's the problem, is that skill-wise, there's no doubt that LeBron is nowhere near Kobe Bryant's level. So for me, if you're going to achieve this greatness, especially you being on the downside of your career, yo, bro, get that footwork game better. Get your mid-range up.
ISO, you just said he's on the downside of his career. He just had his best statistical year that I've seen. He looked like that was the best version of LeBron I've seen last season, man. I disagree with you. So LeBron's played in what? And Kobe played in seven. And what's crazy is they never met in the finals. But
right.
Yet and still, they still adversaries because they did play together in their prime. Kobe and Jordan wasn't in their prime. Kobe wasn't there yet.
Right.
He wasn't there yet. And when he beat up on Jordan when he was a Wizard, that shit ain't count. That wasn't MJ prime. So it is a difference. I don't have a problem with him not working with Kobe. But here's what I will say, Cole, and this is for MVB. Because this is why I was not happy seeing them work with Tatum one-on-one. Because you're going to look up, and I'm telling you, next season, I'm going to give it this season to see what happens, see what we do with the trade deadline, see how we go. But next season, it's going to be Boston and L.A. It's going to be Boston and L.A. And that's going to be if LeBron beats Boston, he is a Laker. You hear me? That's
right.
What you are.
Please believe it.
You beat. So who's look, who's going to be in his way? Who's going to be in his way? Kyrie Irving, Mamba mentality, and Tatum, Mamba mentality.
Right.
Where are they going to be sitting in them finals? That's the thing. That's what's going to hurt me, man. Because they could stand in LeBron's way, man. And what, I mean, what kind of karma will that be?
Karma, right?
Here's the thing, though. That's a possibility. It's a possibility. This is not, no, I don't want you to say this is no Laker hate or anything. This is just a possibility. I told y'all before, I said there's a possibility that the young stars of today may not come to play with LeBron. It's a possibility. It could happen. It happened with Kobe Bryant. It could happen with LeBron. You know what I'm saying? I said the thing that I'm fearful for, as far as Lakers fans, is, like I said, it's always a scary sight when because truth be told, no pun intended, like, Toronto's going to be dangerous this year. Toronto's going to be very dangerous this year.
Yeah, that was the next topic I wanted to get into. I wanted to talk about the whole Kawhi transition and Kawhi being traded and all of the talk that's been surrounding, you know, whether he's going to stay and sign an extension or really be out. What's your feel on that? You think that they're going to really turn it around? I recall being on the same airwaves, y'all was talking that same stuff last year. Toronto's going to be good. Nah, I feel you, though. Kawhi makes a difference, man. Kawhi, we're going to see if he's available. We're going to see. It's a little different conversation because I haven't seen this version of them. This is a new version of the Raptors, so we're going to see.
Here's the thing. Remember when I told you about Paul George? I said the two key factors. We already know Kawhi's going to make the All-Star team in the East. But the key factor here is if Kawhi is if he's an MVP, wins the MVP, and or becomes a first teamer, then it becomes harder because now he reapplies himself and he's able to get that $200 max again from Toronto. You know what I'm saying? Because now once you reacclimate yourself and get those accolades back, now you can start to get those max. And that was the importance of Paul George being an all-star and being 13, is that it enabled him to get the money difference. So, you know, Kawhi, I understand he's a Los Angeles fan. And I think only thing, too, just another thing, too, I just want to add in, the fact that y'all didn't jump on him, you never know with Jerry West. You never know. That's all I got to say.
Jerry West is Jerry West. No disrespect to the 1-8 in the finals, Laker. Great. No disrespect. Because he did put together Showtime Lakers. But the Clippers don't got the pieces, man. Come on. And I still feel, I'm on record as telling y'all, Magic got more tricks up them sleeves. He going to make a push for Kawhi. Let Ingram come out and average 23 points playing with LeBron, 24 points in these first couple months. They're going to trade him for Kawhi. And if you're Toronto, you can't turn down Ingram. If Ingram looking like the next coming of the Greek Freak, you know. And then here's the other thing, though, I'll tell you. Ingram might look so good with LeBron. We good, Kawhi. Hope you enjoyed Toronto. hope you got a chinchilla up there. Because it ain't sunny LA. We don't know how these young Bucks going to look with Bron. The Lakers got some nice young pieces, man. So
yes,
we can see how it looks. Don't tell me Toronto is going to be competing with Boston for the – it ain't happening, bro. Boston got the East on lock, and I still put Philly ahead of Toronto.
Hold on. First and foremost, as nasty as Tatum is, he has yet to even face the caliber of defender of Kawhi Leonard. He ain't seen no Kawhi Leonard, so he doesn't even know what it's like to face somebody with the defensive prowess of Kawhi Leonard.
He had 8 20 point games and broke the Boston Celtics, which is when you say you breaking Boston Celtics playoff records, you doing something, okay? So that's
ain't nobody holding him like Kawhi. Nobody on the East is holding him.
You know what I'm saying? But hold up though. But Kyrie Irving was not on that court last year either. So you can say, so Kawhi locked Tatum up, but then Kyrie out there, Uncle Drew out there dancing on you. So and I don't care who it is, ain't nobody stopping Kyrie Irving from getting to that cup. Okay, nobody.
Here's the thing. You got a team that was number one, and you got a team that was number one in the East last year, right? We all understand their pitfalls against LeBron, but you take away DeMar DeRozan, you add Kawhi Leonard, and you add Danny Green, a three and D man, along with Siakam, along with OG Obinobi, along with their bench, which was one of the best in the league. Like, there's nothing to sleep at. My only thing with Boston. My only thing with Boston is how is dudes going to play with playing time now? You know what I'm saying? Like, to me, that's the biggest thing. Like, I understand Kyrie Irving is going to do his thing, but how is Terry Rozier going to play? How is Tatum going to play with Hayward? You know what I'm saying? How is the rotation going to be?
Right.
Because
we understand that. It's going to be a transition, as always. Other teams have gone through that transition. But you much rather have those assets and have those problems. You know, those are good problems.
Course.
So I think, and on top of that, Boston is definitely more playoff ready, right? And they've shown it throughout last year, being so young and being able to get so far and being accomplished. And I think that when it comes down to it, you could talk all of that regular season first place. That's cool. But it matters in the playoffs, and Boston has what it takes with all of those pieces. It's going to take adjustments. That's what the regular season is for. But they have the pieces that it'll take to be able to come out of the East.
I think Philly took a step back.
Yeah.
I think Philly took a step back. Like, everybody's calling them the third best team.
They signed Riddick, and they signed my man from Denver. What's his name? Used to be a Knick.
Wilson Chandler.
Where they took a step back? Who they lost?
They lost Elias Silva. They lost Bellinelli.
Right.
They lost Bellinelli, but they get Markelle Fultz now. Now we get to see what he could do. I mean, they ain't lost nothing. And if Ben Simmons in the gym, if he getting some kind of halfway decent, look what he did without a jumper. If he in the gym working on some kind of jumper, you got Embiid. If he playing pickup ball, Embiid playing back to back next year. That old manage Embiid, and he didn't play back to back till like May last year, or not May, but like till like March. So come on, Embiid going to play, you know, he going to play like 70 games, 75 games. He ain't going to do the 50 games next year. They going to be better, son. Yeah, I ain't buying it. Philly going to be a problem. It's Philly and Boston. And Kawhi Harding and Danny Green got a pull groin. So wait. We got to back up, though. Danny Green played with a misdiagnosed, or they didn't even diagnose it. What's up with the Spurs?
Right.
If that don't validate Kawhi Leonard, if you out there hating on Kawhi and Kawhi quitting on Kawhi did the damn thing. He did the right thing, because just look at that $2 million Isaiah Thomas signed for.
Exactly.
You feel me?
Exactly.
The first brand takes a hit. They get the gas phase with that misdiagnosed groin. He played the whole season with a bad groin, man. Danny Green.
I think what really made the Spurs play themselves, is the fact that you have Tony Parker speak against Kawhi, and then Tony Parker doesn't even stay with the team. Like,
yeah. Right.
Like,
you miss out on all fronts.
How do you do that? You know what I'm saying? Like,
I think that was some petty. That was petty Pop trying to get his message out, or you know, some of the Spurs organization trying to get their message out. But you know, that's what it takes. That's what happens when you work off of emotion. And it seemed like there was a lot of emotion in between a lot of different characters, you know, on that team.
The fact is that this finally the millennials caught up to the Spurs organization because they were so used to. This, you know what I'm saying? David Robinson
Tim
being
Duncan,
a Navy guy.
Tim Duncan was the Spurs, period. His willingness to take $100 million less than Kevin Garnett and Kobe Bryant in their careers. I mean, that's how much money he took less than them two, man. It's crazy the money he left on the table. He was just a willing superstar. That's once in a lifetime, man. And he said because he did that, Manu and Tony Parker followed suit. But even Tony Parker, like, man, y'all got me on the bench. I'm trying to play. I ain't trying to do all that. And Tony Parker walk away, the Spurs is done. So if we go back to last year, it's what I told you last year. Did I not say the Spurs was done with Duncan? You go back to the tape in the pregame. I told y'all it was a wrap. Nah, it's Pop. Okay, that shit is over. It's dead now, I'm telling you.
Yeah, you wasn't the only one on that Spurs' boat was sailed. I definitely felt like it was past the prime, but I think that with the point you just made about Tony Parker and you know, and the transition and them taking less money, and especially Duncan, but Duncan on the low, he dumbed out, son. You know why? Because he had not, you know, personal business, but this shit is known. He had issues with his financial manager and lost mad bread and went through a divorce. So he's probably feeling it right now. So, you know, I don't know, man. I'm not on the Carmelo level, but son, pay me. At least like Kobe did it on his way out, where he's like, I'm going to get one good one out of y'all. Come on, man.
Players Association was mad at Tim Duncan, dog. Association was mad at Tim Duncan. Like, yo, dude, what are you doing? You're messing up the business.
Right.
You're messing up the business because now you're going to expect other stars to take a pay cut. And you know what I'm saying? And you're messing up the business. For real. You know what I'm saying? At the end of the day, we understand that you're trying to win this and this and this. But just goes to show you, Tim Duncan still wanted to play. And they ain't have no more money for him. They gave that money to Manu Ginobili. He was like, yo, son, peace out. You got to retire.
But look, LeBron took less. Dwayne Wade took less. Chris Bosh took less. Right? Others followed suit. And that's how the narrative became, oh, Kobe ruining the Lakers because he's getting his money. No, the reality was Jim Buss was mismanaging the Lakers. And the Lakers, that Chris Paul trade, when it happened,
it set
the Lakers back 5 years. I knew it. Some said it would set them back 10 years. Paul landed when he was supposed to, and you had Kobe and Chris Paul in their prime, right? And remember, they had already gotten rid of Odom and Powell with that Chris Paul trade. So then the next move was to move Bynum. Right, even if you got Dwight, if Dwight ain't signing with Kobe and CP3, you trading him, which should have been the move anyway. They could have signed Toronto and got DeRozan when DeRozan was a pop-up. There was some moves out there that they could have made, you know? So that set the Lakers back. But Kobe got his bread, and Kobe said it at the time, like, I don't know why y'all taking y'all money. But that's on, you know, LeBron gets a lot of credit. But he also, so now on the back end, he wants max money. But he went through to get them rings, he took less. He did the Tim Duncan route.
You follow the formula.
Yes.
Right, and Dirk took less.
Yeah,
you're right. I mean, but you do it up to a point. You do it to a point, man. I don't know. Maybe because LeBron's business side is much more, he's much more out there. He's much more of a personality as opposed to Tim Duncan, where Duncan's off-the-court money might not have been as big as LeBron's, you know? It got to be a balance.
Exactly.
It got to be a balance because LeBron was be able to – he's a dude. And Wade, you know, all of these dudes are able to kind of fulfill whatever gaps there might be. But, yeah, I don't know, man. Duncan, jeez, that was a doozy.
Yeah, but here's the one thing. Here's the one thing with Timmy, though. You see now he was dressing in the NBA? He won't spend in his bread. even if the count stole half. He wasn't splurging. Timmy wasn't. He wasn't iced out. He was wearing them baggy jeans and them long oversized shirts and shit. Nah, no, he wasn't spending no dough, no bank. So you know he had enough. He's still good. He got enough leg somewhere. But
right.
It's crazy though. He allowed the Spurs to be the Spurs. But, man, that ain't happening again. And I'm telling you, Pop, man, I like Pop because Pop done stepped up on social issues like none other. So I don't want to go with Pop. But I will say this, though. He a little overrated. And that's just me. Yeah, I'm just telling you, a little overrated, man. I think this dude,
I wouldn't
Brad.
I wouldn't say overrated because,
okay.
I mean, you make the playoffs with no Kawhi.
Let me validate.
Right, please do.
Because I put it out there. So let me at least validate it. They, 17 straight years of 50-plus wins? Okay, why I say he's overrated? How many one seed did they not get to the finals? They lost to an 8-seed Dallas team, right? And then you only win 5 chips in them 17 years plus wins, and you never go back-to-back? You never win repeat titles? I think he overrated. I stand by that. I think he overrated. Tim Duncan is the greatest power forward of all time. Okay? They got 5 rings. But as consistent as they were, they underachieved, man. They lost. They 3 times in the playoffs, they lost 60-win teams did not make the finals. 60-win teams. And 1 year, they lost in the first round to an 8-seed. So
to have the consistency that you have being in the West is ridiculous. Not to mention that the Spurs didn't have the most athletic squad. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like these dudes' games is like, yo, like you could pick them up in Marine Park. You know what I'm saying, Cole? Like,
right. He's a teacher. Pop is a teacher more than anything.
Tim, and I think
but drafting them robots,
him,
that's what he wants. Well, you draft the players you want to fit your system. He was drafting them robots.
But he also changed the system up, though.
He
changed the system up. You can't front on Pop because he was running Tim Duncan and David Robinson had the Twin Towers, then started going through David. Then started going through Tony Parker, then saw that, you know, young Kawhi was coming through. All that time being able to plug Manu in and have him start or come off the bench and do what he do. So he's very fluid with his technique, and I respect him for that. I do hear what you're saying and truth be told in terms of him not being able to go back-to-back. That's big. That's big for me. And the 60 wins, not making the finals. But, you know.
But he's a groomer. He's a groomer. The way he helped put Kawhi. No doubt Kawhi put in the work with Kobe and everything else. But the positions that Pop puts him in to be successful. And I think for him to win 47 games with no Kawhi, like them dudes wasn't even supposed to be in the playoffs, my G. And to win 47 games with that team last year was kind of amazing. And to me, I think right now, what he does with this squad next year
will be the testament to if he's really the truth. I mean, he's already solidified in my book, but I think that he's going to help elevate DeMar DeRozan's game to another level. I truly believe that.
What do you guys think about? What do you guys think about the Tempsey at behind the Lakers? Definitely. What do you guys think about the Olympic workouts and the one-on-one matchups that we've been seeing and all of the guys? Because of course Vegas is the place to be, man. We need to make a trip next year, or something, man. It's already blown out of popularity and all that. Like it's a big thing now. But Vegas is the place to be, especially in these last 2-3 weeks or months. All these guys are here working out. What do you think about the competition that's been out there?
Yo, so KD, I think KD is letting cats know, like he might be a sensitive thug, but he giving cats the business. And if you talk shit to KD, he's going to give it back to you, whether it be Twitter, whether it be on the court. He ain't having it. KD ain't having it. You know, but because I know they show all the highlights of cats. You know, they show Devin Booker giving him the business and all. But who won the game?
Right.
Who won the game?
Right.
So, but I like
what's the name was looking
one.
Good, too? Paul George was looking good, too. Yeah.
Okay. Who won the game? Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, you know, it is what it is. It is what it is. But it's. I mean, the dude is to have the skill set that he has at that height. I mean, you know, I remember 3 years back we were talking, and I remember we were joking. We were talking about this debate, and I remember when we was talking that how, you know, when they said who was better, Kobe or LeBron, and they was asking Mike. And remember what I was saying? I was like, Mike knew what he was saying when he said KD. Like, you know, he ain't just throw that out there. He just throw that out there as a joke. He's like, because he knew. He's like, yo, if this dude gets his skill set and gets everything, when it's all said and done, this dude can be the monster. Like, my goodness, man. To have a touch like that, a handle like that, at his height, yo, he's truly unguardable, man. He's truly unguardable.
Yo, that's why he's got that edge, and he's going at cats, because he's like, yo, I done gave it to Bron back-to-back finals MVP. I done repeated his champ. You know, I'm only one title behind Bron, but everybody's saying Bron the best player in the world. And so that's what's burning him. And it's what's going, you know, he going to three-peat with the Dubs, unless the Lakers knock their ass off in the second round. I'm calling it. Lakers knock them off in the second round, because you got to get them early when Steph ankle hurt, you know. That's Steph ankle be hurt in the first and second round, MVP. So that's when we got to get him in the semis. Right?
Yes, but, sir.
KD 3-peat, I'm telling you, he's out of there, man. He's got to, because he realizes that, damn, I'm beating this dude head-to-head, but ain't nobody saying I'm the best player in the world. And yeah, he might be, man. He very well might be. If he was doing this in OKC, hands down, he would be the best player in the world. If LKC
exactly.
won back-to-back, you know,
but
it would be no question.
But here's my thing now. If you got three championships in a row and three finals MVP in a row, and you got as much rings as LeBron, what does it do for your legacy to help LeBron? You know what I'm saying? That's my thing. It's like, it's not saying that he won't go, but to me, it's just like, I felt like, yo, I might as well go somewhere else and claim the mantle all by myself, as opposed to helping you get your fourth, or us working together to get our fourth ring together. Because regardless of what he does, KD can win finals MVP, whatever.
you on the Lakers, it's still going to be about LeBron. It still will be about LeBron.
I disagree. If they teammate, just like he is taking the light from Steph, like right now Steph has lost major with this move. And in the beginning, I was resistant to it. They still winning. But, like, now, it's like, damn.
I told
Steph
you, man.
Steph got three rings. KD got three rings. Well, because I was betting that Steph would come through with a finals MVP. But you don't let KD win two finals MVPs. That one stinker game cost him, man. That game he was terrible after.
That's why he was crying.
I mean, it's like, because he should be. But all in all, just physically, his stature, just naturally, dude, not on their level, man. KD is 7 foot, could pull up anywhere, and LeBron is like a linebacker, you know, running a 4-3, and playing 15 years at this level. We never seen LeBron physically. We never seen that.
I wanted him to get it though. I wanted him to get it bad, man.
But here's the difference, though.
Helped to validate him.
Here's the thing, though. Yeah. With Steph Curry, if you take KD off the team, Steph Curry is more of a killer than both those dudes. Truth be told, no pun intended. But
I agree.
He's more of a killer. So I felt like, because, I mean, really and truly, it was like, yo, my man won back-to-back MVPs, and we all know it was premeditated, but they started to put this dude in a conversation of his greatness as far as Jordan. And if you think about game impact, no question, because this dude is pulling from 40, but he just didn't have the hardware to validate himself. And, you know, people don't understand. People, when he looks back, he's going to look back and he's like, yeah, he's happy he won rings and stuff like that. But did you see when KD got that finals MVP? Did you see his face? He had the same kind of face that Kobe got when he thought he was going to get that finals MVP in New Jersey. He had that same look like, yo, son, I'm salty right now.
But look, here's the thing with Steph, though, right? So Steph, in these finals, he has been hurt. He's been less than 100% in the last two finals, which is crazy, man. He's been injured, man. You know, he's been nicked up. So, yeah, he's been nicked up. He missed playoff games, series. We haven't seen that with the all-time greats. You know, Kobe missed a game and a half in the Indiana finals, but he came back in that finals. You know, but Steph has gone out and missed entire series. You know, that spill he took, the one when LeBron came, when LeBron them beat him, and that was a nasty fall he took, man, in that Houston series when he did the split. Remember that shit? He was out like a series and a half. And when Kevin Love staying in front of him for that series, that was the series, and Kevin Love beat him up. Come on, man. And he settled for he wasn't healthy. And so he's been nicked up. He's got another shot. He's got to win the finals MVP this year. You can't let KD three-peat and KD's the finals MVP each time. It can't happen. But
so he's going to get it again.
Well, I mean, look.
It's a good chance.
He's going to go for it.
It will look bad.
He's going to go for it now.
I think KD was trying to give it to Steph. KD was trying to give it to Steph this past finals, man. He was trying to give it, but Steph up in that game. He looked horrible in game two. Game three.
Steph, you know, when you try to put yourself, he's won some championships and everything. But the thing about it is that what these kids don't realize is, yes, you can have the hardware and everything, but the media will always have a spin on how it looks. So they can, because the media controls basically the pantheon of where you're ranked at, it's like
by allowing Kate, by not having that Derrick Rose mentality of, you know, I'm keeping myself here. I'm Golden State. Nah, dog, you go find somewhere else to play at and not join my squad. And, you know what I'm saying, Golden State could have probably retooled and got some lesser stars to play with him. But by joining KD, I knew it. Everything has took a hit. Them dudes ain't nobody screaming for no Curry S3s no more. When it was just Curry as the face, them Under Armours was selling out the you couldn't keep them joints on the shelves.
I will tell you this. Steph Curry influence on the game is, I mean, he is influencing an entire generation, right? He's changed the game. So, he still had a very big impact, man. You could say bigger than LeBron. LeBron ain't changed the game. LeBron is just a physical specimen that he's just dude is a Mack truck. But this Steph Curry changed the game, huh?
I give LeBron credit. The way LeBron changed the game.
You about to talk off the court shit. I ain't talking about.
Not off the court. The way LeBron has changed the game, LeBron brought back the triple double.
I'll say this. Hold up. Before you get into it. And I'm going to bring up some off-the-court shit because I'm the number one LeBron supporter on this podcast. So, today, LeBron opened up a school in his hometown. That's changing the motherfucking game, my dude. For at-risk third and fourth graders. Dude, at this point, I hear you, Steph. I'm going to get back to your conversation. But I needed to throw that out there because as we talked about before you got on the phone, truth be told, we was talking about LeBron's stamp. And I also mentioned the fact that his business and how he moves and the moves that he makes. And that's huge right there, my G. And he's still in the league? What? Go ahead. You can get back to your
arm. That's off the court shit. I'm talking about Steph changed the game.
No, he did.
No, but he brought back passing.
Everybody's shooting the damn ball.
That's
the
thing. The shooting the three. And the handle and pulling up from way deep. Nah, that's all Steph. He definitely changed the game with that.
No, but I'm saying, but the triple-double, he brought back the triple-double.
Don't say triple-double and try to credit LeBron. Russell Westbrook averaged triple-double for two seasons.
You knew he was going to go there. Why you even say that, Iso? You knew he was going to bring that up. Come on, son.
Come on, man.
No,
and it's true.
Before Russell, hold up. So, Russell, how long was LeBron in the league before Russ?
Has LeBron averaged a triple-double in the season?
Right.
Has he averaged
That's not what I'm saying. I'm not saying that LeBron averaged a triple-double, but he brought that back. LeBron is the reason why dudes started calling Kobe Bryant a chucker. Because they're seeing this dude. Oh, this dude is getting 30.
That is not game impact. Steph Curry versus LeBron
Game
impact on the eye chart. Before Steph Curry, you wasn't shooting 15 threes in a game. 12 threes, I'm not saying that.
But the fact is that what LeBron brought to the game was dudes who were just scorers like Kobe Bryant and Melo. They was like, no, son, you need to involve your teammates. You need to have a complete game and start passing the rock. That wasn't before LeBron.
I don't want to overtalk you, but stop it, because Jason Kidd has more triple-doubles than LeBron James. Tracy McGrady was flirting with a triple-double every night. Grant Hill was a triple-double threat every damn. There's plenty of players that was even played with LeBron, doing LeBron. Kobe had periods when he wanted to, he flirted with a damn triple-double. Please, come on, don't know. he is no key to not the triple double in LeBron. LeBron trying to do that shit in the finals is only because Russell Westbrook has taken that mantra and said, I'm the triple double king. Just James Harden get triple doubles. I mean, I'm not giving LeBron that. Because
not a big thing to me.
At his size MVP, LeBron should have averaged triple double like for 5 years. You know, like Oscar
right.
Robinson. Because it
right.
was there for him. It was if he is what you're saying, to validate what you're saying, ISO, he would have had to done that to make that statement. Like he
all
changed
right.
the game.
I'm
with
crazy.
The He
I'm
ain't
crazy.
Do that.
I'm
you,
crazy.
I just named you five cats that you know. Paul George is that versatile type of player that filling. Lance Stevenson, Green, Draymond Green, all these cats, man, and MVB has said this. The style of play today, Steph Curry style, with shooting 43s in a game,
right?
Steph Curry, again, changed the game. It distorts all them triple-double numbers. The rebound numbers
yeah.
are off, all of that. Everything
yeah,
is
man.
Just
absolutely.
Different.
Right?
So,
you're right.
That's the
that.
One thing
right.
I got to give Steph. I got to get, because Kobe didn't have the influence on the game like Steph. I mean, like, Steph is like you have to do the zone defense to stop Shaq. You know, they Steph changed the game. Like I'm telling you, man, his impact.
That's what I'm saying.
He heard
that's,
it though. He heard it with this adding KD to that
yep.
squad.
That
yeah.
and then also
that's
hold up.
Saying.
Also, his performances in the clutch. I mean. We're saying this with the KD, but it always comes back to him getting injured or in the finals, he does not come through and have the best finals
yep.
that we're expecting, right? So we can't discount
right.
that as well.
That's
right.
true. That's
you're right.
real. That's real.
You're right.
That's real.
Because
he had 38 in game four, but he was shot a poor percentage that game.
Right.
You know? Because he should have had 50. He had wide open threes he was missing. And he really, because they tried to give it to him. KD tried,
yeah.
it, and that's how KD getting the triple double because he was trying to feed him.
Right.
You know
exactly.
But
exactly.
can
that's
we talk
shame,
about?
Man.
Can we talk about
yeah.
my man Russell Westbrook though? You know, Enes Kanter, ex teammate of Russell Westbrook, paid Russell Westbrook the compliment I've been trying to tell Kat for the last 3 years. All this Westbrook hate is like, yo, this dude is a leader. You know, Kat just said he cussed his ass out on the court because he tried to talk to KD. Russell cussed him out, but Kat just said, look, man, I respect it because that dude, he is like off the court. He is, yo, he's a great teammate, great leader. You know, he's on the plane. He's accessible. He's playing cards and dominoes on the plane with the guys. He's one of the guys. And then he also teaches you how to compete. Don't pick cats off the floor. He's a throwback, you know? And he just gets a bad rap. But he gave him the ultimate compliment. This is an ex-teammate, ain't had to do it. And he could have said it for KD, and he didn't.
Yo, I mean, it's not more evident than the fact of he is the main reason why Paul George stayed, man. You know, to have to,
yeah.
to say, yo, to have Paul George stay in OKC, a small market like that, that's huge, man. And he said it. He's like, yo, I didn't want to let Russ down. We had unfinished business. He's such a great teammate. And, I mean, they're going to be dangerous this year, B. They're gonna be dangerous.
Is Melo done?
The buyout went through. He's about to go to the Rockets, supposedly. Now, how's that gonna work with D'Antoni? We only got a few minutes left, man. About 5 minutes left. So we've seen this happen before, and D'Antoni mentioned recently that Melo was the reason that he left.
I think it's. To me, my thing is, it's knowing a lot of the things was, you got to understand the circumstances. You know what I'm saying? Like, you're telling Melo to bow down to Jeremy Lin. Like, fall back, man. Come on. Chill. You know what I'm saying? But for Melo to fall back to Chris Paul is something different
Chris Paul's going to get him the kind of looks that he needs to be in rhythm. To me, like I said, he should be anchoring whether he starts or not. If he starts, you take him out early to him to anchor the second unit. And that's
who
how
he said that shit last year, though. He said that was he already
that's
said he ain't going to the bench. And he's going to be out of the league prematurely like Allen Iverson. Watch what I tell you. I told y'all that months ago. He's going to be out of the league prematurely, man. It's going to be a shame.
This is it right here. If you can't
we spoke
play
about
Chris
that
Paul,
last week.
Nobody.
2 weeks ago. Yep. We spoke about that 2 weeks ago. Just the attitude and the mentality that it takes to go into the last phase of your career. And not everybody. There's only one LeBron James, man. You know, a lot of cats have to be humble and be able to take on a different role. And he could be a killer in that role. We mentioned the fact that that's exactly what he did in the Olympics. Pick his spots. And be able to feed off of the second unit. So,
but
here's
the good thing about him playing in Houston is that they let it fly. So it'll give him plenty of opportunity for shots as opposed to OKC where they pound the ball more. They pass the ball more in Houston than they do in OKC. So he's going to be able to let it fly. Because them dudes take tremendous amount of jump shots. So that's a plus for him. But like I said, if he can't play with this squad right here, retire, bro. If you can't play with the Rockets, you can't play with nobody, B. For real.
We're gonna see it. It sounds like you're coming around on my side of things with Melo. He's gonna have the opportunity once again to be able to show and prove.
Only reason why I say that is because Rockets take an astounding amount of jump shots. Period.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? They let it fly. They let Gerald Green get the green light. Everybody gets the green light in Houston. So if you can't play there, bro, there's no way you can play. There's
yeah.
nowhere else you could play, man. For real.
Yeah, you're going to China. China waiting, man.
See, and while you said that, thank you so much for the alley-oop. I want to shout out our listeners, man. I got a new report, man. We got listeners out in Australia, Greece, Hong Kong, and Malta. Want to definitely shout them out, man, and make sure. I know they can't give us a call at the time. But they're listening to what we're doing and supporting the show. So I want to big that up, Brandon.
Thank you for the love. Thank you for the love. International love, domestic, it's all love. No doubt.
For sure. Any last words before we sign off for the night?
Yeah, shout out to the Jalen Rose Academy. He's been doing it for years before LeBron opened his school, you know, so just shout out to the charter.
He didn't do it while he was in the league. That's the difference. That was the point that I was making where LeBron was able to put his foot down and show his dominance and show his power outside of the court while he was still in the league. So, yeah, definitely salute Jalen Rose, though. I'm not taking anything from him. That's the formula right there. He set the foundation. So salute to Jalen Rose.
Yo, it's all good. I love everything that LeBron is doing outside the court, but my man better bring it home.
He will. You already heard. Truth be told, said it. This year is going to be a test run next year, going to the Western Conference Finals against the Warriors.
Bring it home, bro.
And don't let us catch Steph on a gimpy ankle in the
right,
second
early.
Round.
Right.
Don't let it happen. We ain't Portland.
Yo,
you ain't catching us in no second round and mopping us up now. All right.
Mm.
I can't wait to see it, man.
Here's what I want to see. I want to see LeBron playing Utah in the playoffs against that Utah crowd, boy. Oh,
it's
man.
It's going to happen. Yo, fellas,
that's 4-1.
It's been good,
that's
man.
4-1.
Let's link up again next week, same time, same channel. You already know it.
No doubt, man.
Peace.
Peace.
Peace.